when we're being our true selves and vibrating from that place without a lot of fear, life flows because you are in a frequency of all those good things.
Hi, welcome to Resonate, Conversations and Life Lessons from Rancho La Puerta. I'm your host, Barry. One of the things I love about the ranch is that we create community. Community among our guests, community within our staff, and community with the town of Tecate. Relationships and community are key players in longevity. Sharing experience and common interests create relationships, and common beliefs and purpose create community. Here at the ranch, our guests may bond on a hike, during a meal, or maybe even in a creative workshop. My guest today, Laura Robinson, is an actor, an author, an inventor, and a musician. Laura is the co-creator of Balderdash, a hilarious board game that has been played for 25 years and has become a successful TV game show. I remember growing up and playing games and cards with my family and extended family. Time together enjoying games and laughter strengthens relationships. Laura says that she sells laughter in the form of a game. Laura has had a successful acting career as a cast member of the popular television drama Night Shift, with a resume full of acting credits. She co-authored Count Your Blessings, a book in the popular Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Laura has been a songwriter and performer since she was a child, and she plans to release an album this next year. How can someone have so many gifts? Let's meet Laura. Hi, Laura. Welcome to Resonate.
Thank you so much. Hi, Barry. Great to see you.
It's so fun to have you. Naturally, I've been stalking you for quite a while now that I knew I was going to be interviewing you.
If you're like me,
I encourage stalkers.
Absolutely.
You told me earlier before that you're in LA today, but you live in Canada, correct?
I do. I used to live here. So I'm from Canada, came here in my 20s. And got married, had my kids, and then we went back to be closer to family. My husband was from New York, and so we've spent the last few, like 20 plus years back in Toronto, kind of my hometown. But LA was home for a long time too, and I still work here.
Oh, that's awesome. So now you are, I hope I don't miss them all. You're an actress, you're an author, you're an inventor, you're a musician, you're a mom, you're lots of things, right? And what's annoying about you is you're very good at all of them. So,
oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah, you are. Which came first?
That's interesting. So I was raised in a very creative household, and my father was a jazz musician. My mother was a writer and an actor. And so I was singing from a very young age, and then, you know, just did the plays in school, and I loved acting. And I went to university and got a degree in drama. So I was an actor, but always making music along the way too. Music's been a little backburnered. But I would say that music is my heart. And I'm working more on, you know, finally recording some of my songs. It's been something that has been a little backburnered, but it's really something that's very important to me. And I think I'm like the poster child for It's Never Too Late.
Yes. Yeah.
And people inspire me when I see other people that do things later in life. And for a long time, I felt like I was kind of almost like the poster child for like ADD because I did so many things, but I heard a very positive spin on that recently, and I've been using it in my bio, which is multi-passionate creative.
I love that.
And isn't that good? It's such a nice,
it's really good. Yeah.
Take on it, which is, and that so many people I've met over my life, if they're good at one thing, they might be really good at another too. Like I actually got the opportunity to meet Joni Mitchell and spend an evening into the morning with her. And in her eyes, she's more of a painter. And when you see her paintings, you're just like, gobsmacked. But so, you know, not that I'm comparing myself, but she's one of my mentors or idols. And I love doing so many things that I didn't want to hedge myself in.
Right. So do you write your own songs?
Yes. Yes.
And what is the genre?
I would say my influences are Jackson Brown, Joni, singer-songwriter, revelatory songs that, you know, make you laugh, make you cry, feel your heart.
Yeah. I wonder about our age, because you're talking about some singers from the 70s, and I love the 70s decade. And I was a DJ in the 80s. I used to have my own nightclub. So, but I still think the 70s has some of the best songwriters for sure. Yeah.
I agree. The melodies, those memorable melodies that stay in your in your head. And then the lyrics, I mean, if you look at Jackson Browne and what he was writing when he was 20 or 18 or something, My Opening Farewell, and, you know, so many great songs. I love that, those young songs that still apply later in life. And I have songs from my early years as well. And then songs that I'm writing now. It's really my favorite thing, I would say. And it's something about connecting to source energy and letting kind of the vortex open. And I'm definitely writing with someone or something. And that, I think it's makes me feel like that, you know, that phrase, the journey is the destination. I'm obviously, you love having a finished product, but the actual joy of creating that when I'm out of the way and things come through me is just my absolute favorite thing.
Yeah. So you have songs from when you were very young all the way up to now?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yeah. And I still play them, and they still, it's weird how, like, let's say Joni's on Both Sides now. So she wrote it when she was 19 or 20 or something. And, you know, that song and how it meant something then in her age. And then I saw her play it at the Greek when she was, I think, 65. And then we just all probably saw the thing from when she got to play again. And now I think she just turned 80, and how, you know, something's lost, but something's gained, and living every day means something so more expanded now with that, with those years behind you. It's so beautiful. Yeah.
Right. So are you going to put together an album?
Yes. And it's funny. It's like, we wanted to make a record always, you know, that was a goal and kind of got on the backside, but I would love to actually make vinyl, you know, wouldn't it be fun to actually have a vinyl I love those, getting those records and the concept albums and reading the liner notes. And I've written all the liner notes for the songs, but now I've just been writing some new songs with a Nashville writer I met. And so I'm almost going to have too many, and let's not make a double record for your first record, but it's okay. it'll all come together.
Nowadays, someone releases an album, and then every song off the album is on the top 40 the first week because it's all digital, you know? So when I used to be a DJ, it'd be like Madonna would release Like a Virgin, then you'd wait 3 months and she'd release the next song from the album. And so you didn't get tired of it as quickly. But now it's like everything all at once.
Oh, they do? Okay, interesting. But you might get a whole through line of somebody's, you know, what they were going through or something like that.
But it still all works. Now tell me about the acting career. How did that happen? Because I know that you were on, is it Night Heat?
Yes.
I went back and looked, and I remember you on that show.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Incredible. Yeah. That was a really beautiful break for me. And I'd been doing, so I went to theater school and really did theater and musical theater. And then I came to Toronto and was doing a play. And then I got an agent right out of the gate, and she sent me for an audition for something for a series. And I remember I got 2 weeks work the very first day, and I was going to make more in a day than I was making in a week at like this play I was doing. So I left the play and kind of went into TV and never really looked back. I did one more play later, and that I still would love to do more theater because it's my joy. Right. But TV, I just sort of hit the ground running, did a lot of commercials. And then I was doing guest stars, and then I auditioned for Night Heat and got this great recurring role as a forensic scientist that was really like kind of a nerd, like technical nerd. And my mom used to say, you ask her what time it is, she tells you how to make a watch. Like, so annoying. But she was like the kind of a love interest for the main guy, the main detective on Night Heat. Mm-hmm. And then I did two or three episodes as that character, which was so much fun because you get a lot of juice when you're a guest, when you're a recurring character. Mm-hmm. And then they made me a regular, and I became, I don't know how in TV world, how that works, but I became a detective, and I did three seasons as a part of the ensemble. And it's such a great gig in TV to be on, you know, you're working and you get to do other things, but you're part of this great ensemble for three seasons of a really great show. Yeah. It was fun.
I'm not familiar with Veronica Clare.
Veronica Clare was also probably one of my most favorite roles. And she was a detective that was sort of like Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in one character. And I did a season of that. It was a show for Lifetime. And I also was part owners in a jazz club and sang. It was like a part made for me. And I did the audition and couldn't get a call back. And then through a weird turn of events, somebody recommended me, and I walked in, and I'd done done the whole 40s thing. And the producer, who became a really good friend, said, leaned over to his partner and said, if she can talk, she's got the job. Because I looked like his image of what the character would be. And that was so much fun to do that too. Really hard work though.
Have you ever got to sing on any of your television roles?
I did get to sing on that show. They did one show. And I think I also sang on Night Heat. I had one featured episode where I was like going undercover as a singer or something like that. So yeah, it's happened a few times.
I also heard you were a guest star on, was it Frasier and Cheers?
Yes, both.
Those are two of my favorite shows.
I know. It was so lucky. I was just fresh in Los Angeles. And my good friend who I'm in her home right now in LA, her husband was a director and was directing Cheers. He didn't direct my episode, but I played the nurse on the episode where Frasier and Lilith have their baby. And I'm this ditzy nurse that gives them the wrong baby. And then Ted picks me up. You know, it was so funny. It was really a lot of fun to do that. I give them the baby and they go, oh, he's got your nose. He's got your eyes. And then I lean in and go, I'm so sorry. This is your baby. And I've given them the wrong baby.
That's hysterical.
Blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. A blonde. Yeah,
I'm sure I know I've seen every episode. So I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it.
Yes. I think it's available. One of my friends found it on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah. That's
it's
awesome.
So great.
And what did you do in Frasier? Because I mean, I think that's probably one of the best written shows ever.
Oh, incredible writing, right? Hey. And Kelsey is such a great person. We became good friends. I played a producer, like a guest producer that was coming in and kind of, I can't even really remember. There was potential love interest for him as well. And I was so excited that it would be this kind of arced character, but it didn't end up happening. But I just was like a guest.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, we're going to switch gears again because you have so many things, but you're an inventor. And that's, I mean, every time if you look you up, that's seems like the first thing that pops up is that you invented this game that's been around for 25 years.
Yeah, it's called Balderdash. And it's a really popular game where you invent phony definitions to strange words. And then it sort of spun off and became other categories too. But I did it I think I was 26 or something. I get the dates wrong, but my boyfriend at the time and I found out that we both loved playing this kind of parlor game called the dictionary game, where you would open a dictionary and find a weird word and everybody writes a phony definition. And then the person reads it aloud and everybody votes on which one they think is right. And you get points if you bluff. So it's like a bluffing game.
Right.
And we did all the research and got amazing words and crazy definitions. And the game it took right off and we just didn't know. I've done a lot of keynotes in that area about inventors and in the toy and game world. And I always caution people to not do too much research on how hard something is because we didn't know how hard it was. I mean, I think we had a really good idea and it had already been tried and tested for many years in its parlor version. Mm. But yeah, it was just a very blessed kind of thing that took off and we had so, so much fun. And it's still, you know, if somebody... Right. finds out that I've done the game, they're just like, oh my God, we play that every Christmas. My uncle always has the funniest answer. It still makes me feel so good.
There's some wisdom in what you just said about don't think about how hard it might be. It's kind of like if you do that to yourself, you'll never start projects, right?
That is so true. Yeah, absolutely. The internet is so rife with, you know, and a lot of negativity. So it's good. I think that we just were like, let's do it. And we did it. And we made a lot of rookie mistakes that ended up being in our favor. Like we walked away from the first person we went to and it ended up, they came and said, okay, come on back. And so we did some things that would have been kind of wrong in some sort of circles, but it turned out to be the right thing. Just following our instincts.
Something else you said parlor game and that word parlor, My grandma used to have this room in her house that was called the parlor, but I haven't heard that word since my grandma. What does that mean? Is that like just
it's,
a
okay?
Little...
That's a good question. People always ask me that because it's what I used to call them or back in the day when I did it. You know, it was a homemade game, like just a game that you played with pen and paper. So there's a lot of those games that were just they weren't boxed games. So like a homemade kind of. A game, but see, the dictionary game had gone. When we did our first Cross Canada tour for that game, there were so many people who were like, I've been playing this game for 20 years, you know? So it was one of those things that a lot of people, it had made the rounds just in its parlor version. So playing in the living room.
There's another game, Identity Crisis. Did you do that game as well?
Yes, that was a game I did based on a game. I don't know if you've ever played the homemade game, parlor game called Celebrity, or they call it, my daughter plays it with her friends and they call it the salad bowl game. So everybody writes names or anything on a piece of paper. You throw it in a bowl and then you pull it out, two teams, and you're giving clues to guess the names. Then you throw them all back in and do them with one word and then with charades. So I had loved that game as well. We did that game and It ended up becoming the game show Celebrity Name Game. I took the game in to my agent here in at William Morris, and he's like, oh my gosh, we play this in Palm Springs every weekend. Mm-hmm. We call it Celebrity. You know who would love this is Courtney Cox and David Arquette. They have game nights, like iconic game nights at their homes. And so we met them at the Ivy, and it was like, it was a weirdly greased wheel as well. It just happened, the right mm-hmm. people at the right time. And then we got Craig Ferguson to host it, who was fantastic. And that was
amazing. I love Craig Ferguson. Oh, my God. He's one of my favorite. He's so funny.
Isn't he the funniest? And, you know, he's very, very, he's super smart. And as a host, to have somebody who's got, I say, like right and left sides of their brain firing at the same time, really mm-hmm. good with pushing the pace and everything, but right. also can just mine the comedy when some crazy right. thing happens with a contestant. Right. He's hilarious. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. So now we're switching yet again. Let's. Okay. And you're an author like, as well.
Yes.
And you wrote one of the books on the series Chicken Soup for the Soul, right?
Yes, it's called Count Your Blessings. I did one. That was the first one I did for them. So I was working on a book and a whole kind of lifestyle brand with two partners here in LA, and we flew on our own dime to meet the new owners of Chicken Soup because Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen had sold the brand and these new guys had taken it over, and we went and pitched them a game and a book. And they were like, I remember them saying, stop talking. We already said yes 10 minutes ago. Like we were just so gung-ho, and we had a PowerPoint with our names on the book and everything, and it all happened the way we had envisioned it. And that was such a great partnership. And so we did Count Your Blessings. It's been one of their highest rated books. And I think gratitude is like one of my, I would say that's one of my main pillars. And it's such a great brand. Yeah.
Where does that gratitude come from in your soul? Because it seems to be a kind of a theme from a lot of the stuff I've been seeing about you.
Yes. Thank you for noticing that. No one's ever asked me like where it came from. I think just from the way I was raised, my father was just such a happy person. So joyful and present and really an amazing man. I just adored him. And my mom was also incredible. She was a triplet and very kind of creative and crazy. And so my life was very chaotic, but there was a lot of fun and a lot of unconditional love, I would say, in my life, which I think it just made me appreciate those moments. And I'm so glad that I was raised in a home like that. I mean, it wasn't perfect. There was other, you know, we could go into all of the other stuff, but a lot of presence, a lot of being with us, you know, and playing games. I mean, I became a game inventor because we used to play a ton of games. And I became a musician because my dad played and I started singing with his band when I was 15. So I track a lot of my success and my direction to my parents and what they gave my brother and I. He's a musician. He's a saxophonist, you know. It's like that thing, you know, we didn't have a lot, but we had each other and we always had fun. And they told me I could do whatever I wanted back in a time when women, you know, didn't have all that support.
Right. So I think it might be fair to say that you clearly were for a while, and you're in this Hollywood scene. How does one not get sucked into all the chaos and the craziness that we see? And maybe it's exaggerated, but you know, I've met some other celebrities that it seems to hold truth for.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I wasn't super young, so I was a little bit more seasoned. It wasn't like I was 19. I feel bad for kids that get on the CW or, you know, the Disney thing, because I think when you're so young, you can really have your head turned.
Right.
That, and I also was warned early in my life. It's a weird story I'm going to tell you, but I remember sending my best friend to a psychic when she was 18. And she came out really mad, and I said, why? And she goes, because she wanted to talk about you the whole time. I was sitting in the car outside the appointment, and she said, you're going to go to LA, and you're going to be this actor. And she said, but tell you to be careful with drugs and alcohol. And it was weird. Like, I didn't really have that, but it was this caveat in my head. So I never really drank, and I never really went that way. It was like a really beautiful little butterfly of a warning to me. Right. I don't know. I've thought of it many times. Like, why did I hear that? Maybe it really saved me from other stuff, you know?
Well, and for some reason, it resonated also for
it. It totally did. I have some of that in my background, so I was pretty gun-shy about it anyway, but you never know.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you seem very grounded, like a grounded human being, and I think that's awesome.
Well, back at you. It's wonderful to talk to you.
My name is Julie Green. I'm from Southern California. The things that I like best about the ranch are the complete immersion into living in the moment in this beautiful place. My favorite activity here is hiking in the morning, the mountain hike. You start before the sun comes up, and then you get to see the sunrise over the valley. It's just beautiful. Third is the food. The food here is just so nutritious. Most of it's grown here in the beautiful gardens, and it's prepared by the chefs, so it's absolutely delicious. One of my favorite things also is the sound bath. The room that it is in, the oak tree room, is just an incredible, the acoustics in there are just amazing. There's a big roaring fire. They're doing the sound bath and you just feel like you're in another world. Absolutely love it. Three words to describe the ranch would be mind, body, and spirit. Mind, there's so many different people teaching you things, so many different presenters bringing different aspects that to engage your mind. The body, there's so many different classes and the spa treatments, just an array of anything you could think of. And the spirit, going on the hikes, just being immersed in the nature, the beauty, the sound bath, it just takes you away and just really fills your spirit with joy.
I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply.
I heard you say it's at one time that you're lucky because maybe it's through your games, you get to sell laughter.
Yes. I think my husband said that to me one time when I was lamenting that I, you know, this drive that I have of doing all these other things or things I haven't done, as we all, you know, the glass half full or glass empty. And he said one time, you know, you've been selling laughter for 25 years around the world and you've made, you know, people laugh around. Is that not enough for you? And I remember going, no, it's not enough. But it does really make me feel good because I mean, the anecdotally, the things I hear from people and their faces light up and they're like, we love that game. And the thing about Balderdash is that it's not a game about what you know. It's just like being crazy and it's your creativity and people write their own answers. So it's really a great game. And I defy people to play that game without laughing. Yeah. So it's baked into the format.
Well, I mean, I believe deep at my core that laughter feeds your soul. And I think it's a spiritual thing. I think it really does.
I absolutely do. I'm 100% with you. And it's very magical, like why that works. But I mean, it used to be a prescription in those days of like going for wellness cures and people with cancer would be prescribed to watch Laurel and Hardy and stuff like that. I think it does a lot of things in your body that we're not aware of. And it's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah,
to,
me too.
And be with old friends that reminiscing and laughing for hours. What could be better?
Right. Now, you are also a speaker and you do speaking engagements. And online, I did see that one of your talks is called Life's Game.
Yes. And so life's a game.
Life's a game, where the G, the A, the M, the E all stand for something.
Yes.
So tell me what those, and okay. I was trying to think of what it was. I was thinking, is that called an alliteration? But I can't remember what that's called.
It's called an acronym. It's an acronym.
And actually, I knew it started with
an acronym. And when we did the expanded version of Balderdash with Mattel that has other categories, acronym is one of the categories, and it's really fun. So the AAAA is the American Association of Aardvark Aficionados. So crazy. And people have to fill in. It's actually easy because you just have to think of weird things to go with those letters. So I had seen a keynote speaker in Toronto that I really loved, and she had an acronym for her speech was about abundance. And I think it was cash and each letter stood for something. So when I was asked to do this one speech, I thought of life's a game because the game has been so prevalent in my life and has been such a blessing for me. So G is for gratitude. I basically tell the story of how I created Balderdash, and with these four pillars in my life of gratitude, authenticity is the A, M is for magic, and E is for energy. Mm-hmm. So you probably live that way too, with where you are and who you're dealing with and what mm-hmm. your purpose in mm-hmm. life is. All of those things, you know, we could talk about each one for a whole podcast, but yeah. I think I just heard this really cool stat, which was, you know, the frequency chart of like emotional love is 528 or something like yeah. that. They're, mm-hmm. The hertz and how it goes right. up. I just saw this thing that said everyone thought love was the highest, but actually it's authenticity. Vibrates at slightly higher than love. And I think it's because if you are truly, and it's, you know, it's not like every day and every moment, but it's a good rule of thumb, because what do they say? Like, be the youest you. There's right. no other person, like there's no other you mm-hmm. or you mm-hmm. than you. And when we're being our true selves and vibrating from that place without a lot of fear of like, oh, I can't be this, I can't be mm-hmm. that, how life flows, because you are in a frequency of all those good things.
Right.
Just by being authentic.
And I think if the way you described it, being authentic is being true to who you really are. So on yes. some level, that's the deepest love there is.
Oh my God. That's beautiful.
So I think, yes. you know, that, so.
That's why. That's got to yeah. be why, because it's hard in this life that I've been saying to people, I think the whole key, and it's a lifelong journey to love yourself, mm-hmm. to really love yourself. And I don't know why that is, but it's a great place to get, and to have mentors that help us really, really love ourselves.
No. Yeah. I think that's beautiful. So what's do you have some things in the future right now planned? Tell me what you're yes. up to now. And I do want to have you sing a little bit too here towards the end.
Oh, okay. I'm in Los Angeles right now. I'm pitching like four different game show projects. Of course, that fits with my brand, right? There's a lot of things. And one I had already sold to Fox, and then they did a whole year of development, and then it didn't get picked up. So as much as I just want to say that as many things that have been successes for me, you know, there's been a lot of no's. Yeah. And a lot of my girlfriends, I have a book club back in Toronto, and they're like, Laura comes in 1 month and is like, oh, we just sold a show to Fox. And the next month's like, no, it didn't happen. And then the next month we just rebranded. And I'm optimistic person by nature, but I am a dog with a bone with good ideas. And so we have that one kind of redone, and I've partnered up with the previous showrunner for Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, who had retired, but he came out of retirement, and we're working with him. So working with great people. And then I have two or three original ones that we're pitching. And we did one based on another game called Blank Slate for GSM last year. And we've got a few other things in the offing. And I'm working on my heart's kind of project, which is a record of all my original music. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long, long time coming, and something mm-hmm. I have procrastinated on mm-hmm. and been too perfectionistic about, and all those things. So and my girlfriend said, I see you doing like a cascade of talks about how it's never too late, you know, be the poster child, you know, because I remember wanting to do this when I was 35, and it was like, oh, it's too late. And then I had I was going to do it when I was 40, and my lawyer was like, are you crazy? You can't start a music career at 40. And so I kept listening to those things, but all playing and writing in the back. Mm-hmm. But it's something I need to do for my soul, just to complete and to do what I've set out to do. And I kind of need to do it as a legacy for my family. My kids know my songs, and they know every little inch. And I realized, Barry, that I was trying to get like the right producer and the right genre and all this stuff. And that's why I was, you know, deliberating too long. And then I finally went, I just need to do it myself and do it my simple little way, because those are the songs that they know. And I want to do the first project as really true to myself. And then I'm opening up to collaborating and co-writing things.
It kind of goes back to even maybe what you said, that, you know, if you think that something's too hard, then we put it off. I think the hardest part of anything that we want to do in our lives is taking that first step.
It's so true, Barry. Thank you. You're actually really helping me with that. That's a really honed in thing, and I need to just do it. And it's been this thing of like picking the wrong person, and I have had some, it has been a thing of being in the studio and not saying what I wanted to. So being able to speak up but now I really feel like I know what I want when I do it too.
That's because you have to be authentic to your true self, right?
Thank you. I will remember that.
Well, I mean, you and then and you can call me later and tell me the exact same thing back because I need to hear all those things too. It's easy.
I know.
You know.
Right.
Uh huh.
We all are mentoring.
Right.
What is that? I love that quote. We're all just walking each other home. I saw it up in the Bay Area at my friend's house in a little town, and it was just written on a mural, like somebody had just written it on a wall. I love that quote.
I love that quote too.
Yeah, we do this together, don't we? Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to maybe play one of your original songs for us here.
I would love to. I would love to.
I would also love to invite you to come to Rancho La Puerta and to sing and do your talk for us. I would love that.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to go there, honestly, for so many years. My girlfriend, who I'm staying with, her mother-in-law and daughter used to go all the time many years ago.
Yeah.
It's been on my radar for a long time. So that would actually be a dream come true. And it's going to put a fire under me to get my record done.
Yes, absolutely.
So you just gave me the hugest gift.
Okay, good.
Right. I feel like I'm going to cry. Okay, shall I play a song?
Yeah, what are you going to sing for us?
Okay, well, this is a very simple song, but it's the one that always makes people cry for some reason. My daughter always goes, Mom, you're going to make everyone cry. And I'm like, I always make this joke where I go, my work is done. When everyone's crying, then I leave. But I always say it's tears of poignancy or tears of connection. And that's my mission with music, is to open people's hearts. So this, I was asked to play at a friend of mine, did a big, huge fundraiser for the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And she asked me to sing. And I said, maybe I can write something, because I'm always trying to sort of sneak up on my creativity. Like, I need a task. And if you give me a task to finish with a song, I'm doing it. But the blank page is a little daunting. So we were out for a hike in the middle of the winter, and we were talking, and she said something that my spidey sense was like, that could be it. And she said, I count my life in summers. So being from Canada, the winters are long and cold, and I'm a summer girl. And I lived in LA for 20 years. Because of that, one of the main reasons. And it just occurred to me, you know, how many summers do we have? How many summers does anybody have? It's a kind of cautionary. I always say this is a bit of a cautionary tale, but counting your life in summers and should, you know, really, can we get to what we want to do? So it's a song for me to do this record and to fulfill sort of one of my purposes. Anyway, she was having a cardiologist, a nutritionist, and a life coach speak. So I was kind of approaching the heart from all those different things, like what's good for your heart, what's good for your heart. Anyway, this is called 30 Summers. Imagine 30 summers with an open heart. What would you be doing? Shouldn't you just start? Nobody knows what time has in store. Take care of your life and just walk through the door to your heart. The kids are getting older, but the sky is still blue. And we still have each other, the things we want to do. Swim in the lake, take that trip to the coast. All of the things that you wish for the most with your heart. Now I've heard people say that a heart's desire is a gift you must give away. And mine is to sing this song for you today. Today, when you think of 30 summers, seems like it's a lot. But when you count the days out, funny, it's just not. There's so much you can do to make sure that you're there to walk in the sun. And that's how you take care of your heart. Now I know that you're a dreamer, but you've got to make it real. See those 30 summers and how you want to feel. promise you'll take all the life you can live. Be strong and be wise, and don't forget to give from your heart. Now I heard people say that a heart's desire is a gift that you give away. And mine is to sing this song for you today. Today. So now those 30 summers might mean a little more to you. And if you know what makes you happy, that's what you gotta do. From starting today, do the things that you could. Please don't you wait, you've just got to be good to your heart. No one can wait, we've all got to be good to our hearts. To your heart, to your heart, got to be good to your heart.
No, it's beautiful. Yes, you have.
Thank you.
You have to put your album together. I will look forward
Thank
to
you.
It. Thank you. I'll download it.
Oh, please. I know. Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this year. I'm saying it out loud.
Good. You'll do the album this year, and you'll come to Rancho La Puerta. Those are two things for this next year for you.
I'm so honored, and thank you so much. It's been amazing.
Yeah, and thank you so much for spending this time with me. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I did too. So much.
Good. So
thank you.
I will look forward to seeing you in person and hearing you on my computer.
Hearing you get it all done. Okay, good.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for everything. Have a good day.
You too. I was pleased today to find Laura to be kind and down to earth. She has found success as an author, as an actor, as an inventor, and as a musician. Laura doesn't give up, nor does she put limits on what she can accomplish. To me, this is very inspiring. She realizes that setbacks are part of life, and a chance to grow and learn. She still continues to pursue things that fill her with passion and inspiration. Our conversation today has encouraged me to try some new things that will not limit the scope of what I'm willing to give a shot at. It's not so much the final product, but how the process makes you feel along the way. Another takeaway for me is that I need more people like Laura in my life. How about you? Wishing you health, daily joy, and creative expression.